sails on a troubled sea. Ever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a friend, and he watches over me. When the breeze turns into the gale, I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm your storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle to the sky. Among the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me from my heights. It may bring me low, but it will never bring me down. 'Cause I know the master of the wind.
Yeah. is here right now. Reach out and touch him. Jesus is here.
testify, so, you know, singers are testify, preachers are inspired to preach. I'm sure there's times Brother Smith is more inspired than other times when he's preaching, but, you know, I've mentioned several times that I go eat pizza with my blind neighbor on Monday night, and he's got a sister that'll be 92 Tuesday. She drives down from Spring Hill, a little community about 6 miles north of Conway, to eat pizza with us, and her you know, Spring Hill is a little community. I mean, it's small, but the church, the Spring Hill Baptist Church, she says they've got over 300 members, and her preacher and his wife come to eat pizza sometimes. And so the preacher said, well, he's a Baptist, of course. He said, well, I love to preach so much that if it wasn't so awkward, I'd just run toward the pulpit. So I guess I got to stay dignified out there. But I was reading recently in the paper about a month ago where the Assembly of God they're putting less and less emphasis on speaking in tongues. They don't want to be out of the mainstream. And, you know, in other words, they don't want to be a peculiar people, but I'm among a peculiar group of people tonight. Sometimes maybe we ought to look at each other and say, you know, you're kind of peculiar being among this bunch. But anyway, what I felt so inspired to testify Wednesday night because, you know, sometimes things happen that our mind just races with excitement. Maybe it's getting ready to come to church to see what might happen, or maybe it's when somebody knocks on the door at 1 o'clock. That's the wrong kind of excitement. You might be wondering, is somebody trying to break in and do me harm? But there's good kinds of excitement and bad kinds of excitement. So a little bit over 3 years ago, I went to the doctor, and my blood pressure was dangerously high. So about 2 months later, I had a schedule for a colonoscopy. So the nurse took my blood pressure, and she said, your blood pressure is high. And I said, well, I've been on blood pressure medicine for 2 months. So anyway, it's been about a year since I've been to the doctor. So I weighed 228 pounds a year ago. So I went in for my colonoscopy consultation Wednesday, and she said, You weigh 206 pounds. Well, I feel good. I've lost 22 pounds more than I realized. I didn't realize I'd lost that much. Sister Joyce Weiniger last Sunday downstairs, she said, you've lost weight. And I didn't realize it showed that much. But anyway, it made me feel good when she said I'd lost that much weight. And then she took my blood pressure, and it was 118 over 76. So I came out of there feeling good, you know. I mean, I may live for several more years. They say what the blood pressure is a silent killer, so made me feel good. So I called the doctor, my regular doctor, Friday. I had an appointment with him to see if I could get off this blood pressure medicine. And he said, well, you better not right now. I said, you better stay with it. But anyway, you know, I value my health. I mean, there's nothing more valuable than health. And I give myself an affirmation ever so often, by the grace and God, mercy of God, I'm going to be healthy till the day I die. It doesn't hurt to think positive, you know. So I try to, well, let's see, when I was at the doctor Friday, I was waiting in the waiting room, and he was talking to somebody in the other room, and I could hear through the wall, and he told that man, he said, just the medicine is not going to do it. Said, you've got to eat right and exercise. So, you know, God can give us health, but he expects us to make a reasonable effort to keep ourselves healthy. So, anyway, but I do value my health, and I value my soul, you know. I mean, if I didn't value my soul, I wouldn't be here, because I got a vision years ago that this was the way to walk you in it. And so I value my soul. That's another. If I didn't value my soul, I'd just leave and never come back. I mean, it's good to have fellowship, but we value our soul most of all. And, you know, I feel for people. I was out 9 years, and Brother Weiniger said, we thought we'd never see you again, you know. So I got to thinking another night about some people that have left, and I said, you know, maybe some of these people that have left are not a hopeless condition, and I got to praying for them. So I'd like to see some of them come back, and it'd do me good just to see one come back, you know, because just one lost sheep is a lot of value. So anyway, I hope Brother Smith said he knows pretty well who's going to be here on Wednesday night, so I hope I'm one of those now that's going to be here on Wednesday night pretty regular. So it feels good to be, you know, not even have to think, well, am I going to go to church on Wednesday night or not? It just becomes a habit. So anyway, wonderful place to be, and you're a wonderful group of people. Give glory to God.
That last song, I really appreciate that. I just got to thinking as we were singing, you know, and as I was just sitting there and looking around, seeing, you know, who would be next to testify, I was thinking, you know, Jesus is here right now. Reach out and touch him. And I was thinking, okay, and even in the song it says, you know, believe. You know, just believe. And I was thinking about that. All right, I'm singing this song. I'm thinking about it. I do believe in Christ. I believe that he's my personal Savior. I know that I've received the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God in my life. But am I really believing that he's here right now? If the Savior, you know, and I know Brother Smith, like this today, he's talked in a Bible study about the if Christ did appear unto us, that, you know, that's not the appearing that we're really looking for. That wouldn't have a long-lasting effect, because as humans are, as we go, we would one day forget that. It, you know, if we don't make a change in our life. But I was thinking, though, on a sense of the word, if Christ appeared, if some dignitary came in here, you know, would I act differently? You know, if the governor came to visit our church, you know, would we be a little different? Would it be the same kind of service? But I was thinking about, the song said, Jesus is here right now. Jesus is here right now. That is the Son of God who came and gave his life so that I might have an opportunity to be able to be connected back to the Heavenly Father, to the Creator of the universe. You know, I want to look at that and realize what a great honor it is for me to be able to come to a place where Jesus is. And Jesus is here in our midst, with all of our spirit, where two or three are gathered in his name, in his authority, that's where he is also. And I know that I'm in this place today with my brothers and sisters who have the Holy Ghost in their life, who are seeking him. And I thought about that and thought, Lord, I don't want to take that for granted. I'm able to come into a place of worship where we can have that true worship, where we worship him in spirit and in truth, as the Bible says. And I want to think about that. I don't just want to think about it, though. I want to act on it. You know, I want to be able to have that as a principle in my life, that whenever there's times, you know, and I really appreciate it today. You know, I'll put a plug in there, too, Brother Smith. If you're not coming to Bible study, let me tell you, you're missing something. You're missing a great opportunity to hear lots of the wonderful Word of God broken down a little bit more in finer detail. And but this was just one of those things that he said that it touched me in relation to, you know, we all know Brother Smith travels. And I'm not trying to lift just him up, but I'm just saying he travels all the time. It looks like you could say a glamorous lifestyle. Hey, he's a jet setter. He's in Canada today. He's in the Dominican tomorrow. He's in, you know, Wichita the next day. Well, just as far as traveling in Arkansas, that's what I do. I get home, I am worn out. You know, you drive around 200, 300 miles, you get back, you're just, I'm done. I am done. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to go home and just look at the wall because that's about all my brain can do at that time. Well, all that traveling that he does, it's got to wear you down. I know it wears him down. Just dealing with our airport, and our airport's nothing, that wears me out. With my personality, it's like, okay, do I have all my papers? Are they going to put me over to the side? You know, I'm that's the kind of stuff that my mind goes through. I'm saying all this to say, though, today he was mentioning about, you know, basically he was wanting to be able to give the word of God because he knew that's his job, as he said, that's his gift, his calling. But sometimes it's not so easy for him to do. And I was thinking about that, and he's got that burden to carry. What burden do I have? I'm not carrying the entire burden of this church like he is. I just need to do my part. And maybe by me doing my part, that's going to help his part a little bit more. I can do it. There goes that part, Brother Durham. See, I think that was scriptural. Whatever was going on that day, it just maybe just didn't come out the right way, my brother. But I want to do my part today. I want to get up and lift up the name of the Lord. I want to get up and realize that Jesus is here right now. And I want to reach out and touch him. I want to reach out and feel him. I want, just like as Brother Smith was talking today about the bottom of the garments of the Jewish the men, about the blue ribbon around the bottom of that, you know, how that woman who had that issue of blood, she knew what she was doing. See, she had the understanding. She was reaching out for that. She touched the hem of his garment. Well, today I want to touch the hem of his garment. I want to have that garment on. I want to have a robe of righteousness. But I'm not going to be able to have that robe of righteousness on if I'm not just getting up out of my seat. If I'm not willing to stand up and say, you know what? Thank God I'm among his people today. Today I can speak for that. Today I'm in the house of the Lord. I'm able to lift my hands. I'm able to sing out, Sister Jody, and praise his name in this place. I'm able to lift him up. I'm able to say, God, thank you. Thank you for my many blessings. Thank you for one more day getting a chance to see Sister Elsie come through those doors. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to count that for granted. I'm not going to count that as nothing. That's a blessing right there, sister. That's a miracle right there. Because I remember when we were praying when you were in the hospital, well, there was no hope. We weren't going to see you again. That was it. The doctor said, you know, sorry, I can't do anything. But we know a doctor who can. We know a man that can. We know our Savior because Jesus is here right now. It's just, am I going to believe? Am I going to believe? Am I going to have enough faith? And see, here's where there's the convicting part in my soul. As Brother Smith has related recently, in as much of faith and how that faith is linked so strongly to what we're hearing, to what's coming over the pulpit, the more we hear, the more we get an understanding of, the more that builds that true faith in us. Well, I know that I'm in a place today where I'm hearing the oracles of God brought forth. I'm hearing the good word of God. I'm hearing more and more truth every day. Well, I need to let that have its perfect work in me. I need to be able to say, you know what? That is why my faith is increasing. That is why I can have a closer walk with him, because I'm learning more and more about him each and every day. So I just wanted to get up and lift up the name of the Lord. I just want to get up and praise him and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for a place that I can bring my children, where they can hear this, where they can get it in their heart, so they can pass it on, because this world is a dark place. But I want to be a light in this world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And that's what we are here today. We're a part of that heavenly Jerusalem. We are the church today. We are spiritual Israel. So I just, like I said, I just felt convicted in that. I don't, you know, especially I tell you, I mean, I'll tell off on myself. When I get back here on usher duty, it's like it's my place to hide, okay? Because y'all are all looking that way. You know, I know the ministry's up there looking this way, but it's almost like, well, there's not as many up there. I can dodge them. But there's all these people here. That's where I hide. So I don't want to hide today, though. I want to come out and stand up for my Lord and say, Lord, you've done so much for me. I cannot tell it all, but I can get up and raise my voice. I can lift him up and say, thank you. thank you for this. Thank you for this opportunity. Something I've really been thinking about more and more as Brother Smith's been talking on perfection. Been talking about the overcoming life. I've been thinking about, what does that mean to me? And what keeps coming back to me, and it's, you know, I want to put it into practice so much, is that charity. You know, going back to 1 Corinthians 13 and really thinking about that, really diving into it, thinking about that that's a real earmark of the body of Christ. And Brother Souders, how he realized that that charity was so important. And thinking back on that and going back over 1 Corinthians 13, and when I was doing that in my mind about, you know, charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. You know, it's not improper. It's not seeking its own. But what it's supposed to do, it's seeking others' wealth. It's seeking to help my brother and sister. Is, you know, is not easily provoked. Well, there's a point right there that I don't know that I have a lot of charity in my life because things do provoke me. You know, as it was related again, I think it was up here today when he was talking about on the road. You know, how many times have I been provoked on the road? There's more than I care to mention. But that's one of those things I was thinking about in relation to, you know, when you were defining perfection or true maturity. Because that's what 1 Corinthians is talking about. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put away those type of feelings of getting my feelings hurt so easy, or of being able to be offended over nothing. I need to be able to suffer myself to be defrauded. I need to be able to suffer myself to take a little bit of hurt for Christ's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great will my reward be in heaven, because the prophets were persecuted the same way. That's what I've been thinking about in relation to, what does it mean to be perfect? What does it mean to put that old man down so I can overcome that? I wanted to share that because it's been on my heart, you know, trying to go back over the principles, going back over Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Looking at 1 and 2 Peter where he says, you know, add to your faith virtue, we're going through those steps right there. And then also the taking away, the laying aside malice, putting those things out of my heart that I know are not godly. But I can confess and say sometimes I get lazy in that. Sometimes it's like, you know what? I'm too tired to put on charity. You can't make me put on charity. Ha, ha, ha. Well, then I just got back in the flesh now, didn't I? And then I find myself repenting and saying, God, I don't want to keep going around that mountain. Lord, humble me down, Lord. Make me what you want me to be. I want to be a vessel of honor. There's plenty of vessels. There's vessels of dishonor and honor. I don't want to be a vessel of dishonor. I want to be a vessel of honor in the Lord. I want to be able to be filled up with that Spirit and not be a leaky vessel. Where even when I'm tired, even whenever I get home from work and everyone has had my lunch except for me, and I want to kick the dog and the cat even though we don't own one, that I can still say, God, I love you. Thank you for the opportunity to know that I should be lifting my hands and praising you, and in whatever state I'm in, to be content and to be praising you and lifting you up. So that's what's been going on through my mind. That's what Brother Smith has, in a positive way, provoked me to think about in relation to that overcoming life. You know, so many times we've talked about, you know, putting down the flesh, you know, not giving over to it. And I don't want to forget those things. I don't want that to become old manna to me. I don't want that. It's the thing. I don't want that to just be, I don't want to be like the children of Israel. You know, well, I've got this manna. I mean, you know, hey, it's not like it's food from heaven. Yeah, think about that one a second, right? It's straight from God. It's God through our ministry. Coming from the Word of God straight to me, I want to accept that manna and say, this is precious. I'm being fed bread from heaven. God, don't let me take that for granted, but let me eat it with all diligence. Let me have a spirit that's seeking you. Because I don't want to come in here and I don't want to agree to work for my penny and then quit before I ever get my reward. But I want to keep moving forward. I want to keep walking toward Him each and every day and getting closer to my Jesus, because He is here right now and it's up to me just to reach out and touch Him.
See, Brother Smith painted a picture of me today. He's talking about that old serpent nature inside of every one of us, that old nasty spirit, that side of us that we're fighting. It reminds me of in the Old Testament, I think that's a perfect picture of it. You remember God told them people, He said, you can have the land, but you got to fight for it. Well, we can have the land, but we got to fight for it. That's okay, because we're fighting unrighteousness. I listened to a CD Brother Adams of Ben Harbor, and he was talking about we fight evil on two fronts. We fight evil in other people, and then we fight that evil inside of ourselves. That's really going to take us to the ground, to the grave. That's inside of us is the worst. Because what's inside of other people is something we have to deal with, but it's not what's going to actually take us down. That's inside of us is what's going to take us down. Now, his message today wouldn't have meant quite so much to me, but I was doing self-inventory this week. Brother Tucker used to tell us, he said, if you got a problem, do self-inventory. And you've heard that story about the lady that looked out the window at her neighbor's laundry and it never was clean. Y'all heard that story. And she ran it down. She said, that lady does not know what she's doing. Well, that laundry's horrible. And she went outside one day after watching it for time, and she looked at her neighbor's laundry. She said, whoa, that lady finally learned how to clean her clothes. See, those are so pretty. And then she went back in the house and looked at them through the window again. They were dirty again. Come to find out, it was her own window. It's our own window. It's mine. It's not my brother. It's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Brother Smith's talking about going down the highway, you know, and losing your that side of us overcoming the good side. You know, I didn't lose it this week, but I was coming into Memphis. And I had my cruise set on 55 miles an hour. That's the speed limit down through there for big trucks. And some people think that the answer to everything is stepping on the brakes. You know, that's the way it is in our spiritual life. That the brakes is the answer to everything. We think just because we fail, oh, that's it. Step on the brake. Stop this thing. I'll not go any further. Well, I needed to get over. There's one lane coming into Memphis that you got to be in to stay on 40, you know, take the exits. Well, this car was going by me real slow. I thought, well, I'll ease over behind him. And I had my eyes on this car. Sometimes in our spiritual life, we get our eyes set on this particular thing, and we don't see the big picture. This car went by me, and I eased over behind him because there was more traffic back there, and I didn't want to get blocked out of the lane.
And as soon as I went on behind him, he stepped on the brake. I thought, oh, there's another one. There's another one. Oh, well, there ain't anything you can do about it. Just step on the brake with him. Well, this guy wasn't trying to aggravate me. He was looking at the big picture. The big picture was some poor man was trying to make money. It's obvious. I've done it. He had an old truck loaded down with scrap metal. No tailgate. He had lost a lot of scrap metal out of that back of that truck. There was a bathtub in the middle of the road. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Who would ever think a bathtub would be in the middle of the road? Highway. But this man slowed me down. Brother Smith was talking about it last weekend. He said, or somebody was, said, you know, you get aggravated because somebody slows you down. And that happens in our spiritual life. We get aggravated with that. I'm talking to myself now for sure. My brother McGinn had to remind me today, Paul, some people mature at different levels. Okay. I was back there. You ever just do that? You just back there just, you know, just, what do you call it? Chewing the fat? I said, what the God? I was back there complaining. He said, Paul, some people mature at different levels. Just calm down. Okay. I got off my story. I'm sorry. Y'all have to help me. Oh, yeah. Who would ever think you'd see a bathtub in the middle of the road? You know, but that's the way it is on our Christian journey. Sometimes we get things in the middle of the road, and as people slow us down, and we think, and then we find out, if we'd have went headstrong, we would have encountered a situation, you know, that would have hurt us. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? I want God to help me to be a sweeter person. I want to be a sweeter person. Even when I'm out there by myself, we're trying to be lights. Brother Smith talked on, even today, is something I was thinking about on church this morning. Reaching out to people. You know, he's talking about he'd like to have people that would reach out to people on a personal level so they could bring them to church. I want God to help me in that area. I was thinking about that on the way to church this morning. I was thinking, what can I do? How do you start step by step talking to people? You know, I know that God draws people. And we're instruments in His hand. We just need to try to be there, you know. And then, of course, Brother Smith reminded us again, we'll never even really be there without God help us. You know, without Him helping us to be there. You know, I want to mature. I want to mature. I want to be a person that's not constantly complaining about things around me, like Peter looking at the waves. I want to keep my eyes on Jesus. I want to go in a positive direction. I want to be a vessel that God can use in His kingdom. And Brother Smith was even saying another one. Y'all, he really painted my picture today. You ever feel like just jumping up and saying, I'm sorry, it's me. You ever feel like doing that? Y'all wouldn't be mad at me if I did that, would you? Sometimes I feel like it. But he's talking about, you know, he said, if you people would just serve God, your family would follow you. Y'all notice my family's not here, right? Tell me he wasn't after me. You know, if y'all ever see me just start climbing under the seats over here, just trying to get under them, you know, just staying there the rest of the service. Don't hold it against me. I'm trying to go in a positive direction. I want to go. And if one step at a time, after even all these years I've been here, if one step at a time is what God will let me go, give me a permit to do, just one step. Brother Pryor, give that lesson last weekend of the penny. That's helped me all week. That penny, you know, you might say, well, I'm only worth a penny. Maybe not that much sometimes. And you feel like God's looking for you. He's looking for you. You know, we use the statement, we found God. I think, well, I know He did. He found us. He was looking for that penny. And that might be all we're worth. But thank God. sought us out, and we're worth something in His eyes. We're worth something in His eyes. He died on the cross for us. He died for us. He's a friend. He's our friend. I love Him. I love Him. I appreciate Him. I thank God for His blessings. You know, God does give us blessings. It's on and on. And I don't deserve these blessings God gives me. I wake up in the morning. Brother Linegar used to say, and I get confused on this one. I can't remember. We're supposed to thank Him in the morning and praise Him in the evening. Or praise Him in the morning and thank Him in the evening. Well, you know what? I don't think it really matters. But I wake up and I say, God, You are so good to me. You're so good to me. I wake up and I say, God, I feel so good. You know, sometimes I don't want God to watch me. And Brother Smith read those scriptures today. I was telling my brother, Brother Guy, I said, that's embarrassing. He said, God even knows our thoughts. Have you ever just not wanted Him to know your thoughts? I don't want Him to know my thoughts sometimes. Brother Smith was talking sometime back. He said, I'm just reminding y'all what he said. Y'all was here too. But he said, you know, there's things about me I don't want you folks to know. I don't want y'all. Heaven forbid you folks ever find out. You can climb inside my head and know what I'm thinking. Heaven forbid. Man, that would be horrible. But I'm just admitting to y'all, I am just human. I'm not Superman. Brother Thompson was telling us. No, you wasn't here last Sunday. I'm sorry, it was Sunday before last. Brother Thompson was telling us, we're not Superman. We can't jump buildings in a single bounce. And the older we get, you know, we can run around when we're young, walk around when we're older, and walk real slow when we get older. I'm sorry, I'm not quite as old as some of y'all, but I know from what y'all tell me. And we don't have laser level beams coming from our eyes. We can't ricochet bullets. But God still loves us. He still loves us. And I'm saying that in a natural sense, but the same applies in a spiritual sense. You know, evil comes at us. Evil comes at us. And you think, well, boom, you know, you think, bounce off of me. Well, it don't bounce off. It just goes right on in. And then that's inside of us, you know, with that's on the outside, lets us know we really are human. We're just human. But that's what Jesus died on the cross for, was just humans. People that don't jump over buildings, we just walk around. We don't have lasers coming out of our eyes. We have to have glasses so we can see. We can't ricochet bullets. We have to run as fast as we can to get away from them. Hide behind stuff. But we're just what we are. And even in the spiritual sense, we're just what we are. And we have that side of us. We have that side of us that will take us down. But then that old nature was born with. But then we have that new nature we receive when we receive that spiritual birth. And these two natures, sometimes I feel like that, I don't know, I guess y'all do too, there's an animal inside of me. There's an animal, and I got to keep him corralled, you know, because he's there. He's there. I got to kill him. You know them ites that the children of Israel, when they went in to conquer the land, they couldn't reform those ites. Brother Smith was telling us today, we can't reform the old man. We got to go with the new man. They couldn't keep those ites. They had to kill them. You couldn't reform them because they was what they were. They weren't going to change. They had to be killed. They had to go. This old man's got to go. He's got to go. He's got to go. And that new man, where Paul even said that. He said, we wrestle toward the goal where we can say it's no more I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And that's where we can have real confidence in one another. That's where we can know, yeah, Brother Paul's going to do right. Well, no, Brother Paul won't do right. But that's inside of him, that Jesus that's inside of him, will. And And if I can get more and more of it inside of me, that's what I want. Because Brother Paul won't do right. Brother Paul won't do right. But Jesus will. And I'm thankful that he came into my life. I know I've had him in my life for years, but I want him to stay there. I want him to keep being in my life. God's good. Our blessing's great. God's good.
Today, a whole lot more tomorrow. God is Praise God. Brother Leninger changed that little chorus. You know, we used to sing, I praise him in the morning, praise him at noontime, and praise him when the sun goes down. And he changed it to get us to saying, I'll thank him in the morning. He was thinking we need to be thankful God's gave us another day. And then by noontime, you ought to be praising him for being with you during the day. If you're walking with the Lord and trying to keep him by your side during the day, you'll have reasons to praise him by noontime. And then rejoice when the sun goes down. Rejoice. Be glad and thankful that the Lord's with you and that you're reaping his blessings. That was his thinking on that. That's the order of it that he... Yeah, we sing it that way now here. Once in a while, Sister Lynette and different ones give it to us. Thank him in the morning, praise him at noontime, and rejoice when the sun goes down. Hallelujah. The last song he wrote was... touch my eyes, Lord. Touch my ears, that I might see the wonders of your love. Touch my ears, Lord, that I might hear the voice of the one I love. Touch my heart, Lord, that I might feel your peace and joy within. There it is up there. Keep me on my knees with a humble plea for a closer walk with thee. He was working on verses for that before he died, but he never did get it wrote. Maybe some of us will come up with them before it's over with. Praise the Lord. I might just mention, we hadn't said much about it. I guess we just kind of take him for granted, but I really appreciate my nephew, Brother Randy, being here. Ayers. You know, he's really suffered a loss with losing Sister Jill, his wife. But I really appreciate that he's really reaching out to God to help him. And I appreciate him being here. Thankful to have him here. Amen. All right. Well, if Jesus went home, we just will to go too, I guess. Praise God. Well, I'm not. Now, I, you know, I could preach. Yeah, I could preach. It might take me a little while to get wound up, but I feel like I could preach. Y'all are easy to preach to. That's why. Anyway, keep praying for Brother and Sister Isagiri, the folks that came here from the Philippines. They're traveling right now, but he's seeing if he can stay over for our meeting in November. November the 12th, Tuesday night is our meeting through Friday, and the first night, we've never done this that I can remember, it will be open. And so it might be a little bit of a struggle because the first night sometimes, but we might just fool the devil and slip a good service in on him. And So I'm looking forward to this meeting. Brother, get your room, your names in to Brother Tally. He's getting calls for beds, and he's having to tell people I'm waiting on people to turn their beds in so he can put your name down. Let's help Brother Tally so he won't be under too big a strain. He's getting older, and stress is not good for him. So let's help him out. Give him our beds and help him out. And then this next Saturday, we need to have another work day. We've still got a lot of things over in the gym that they're trying to get done. There's several different things. I noticed, Brother Matthew, that the men's urinal in the men's restroom behind the platform is leaking where the flusher is. There's that big connection right there. It's got a real slow leak that's dropping right down on top of the urinal. So help me remember that. I keep forgetting it. The cordless microphones downstairs for the Bible study stay down there. A couple of them was brought upstairs today, I think. So on Sunday mornings, leave them down there. They go on that little table behind in that top drawer there on that table. So if you bring them up here, we have to take them back down there. I don't think we've ever announced that before. What else needs to be announced? I mentioned this morning that we'll have a ladies' meeting. We failed to put that in the letter, but I did get them to put it on the list for the new meetings. I did announce a youth meeting next year, 2014, for July, let me get my calendar. I think it's the 27th. We've got time if we have to adjust it, but I was afraid if we went the very end of July and first part of August that the kids would already be in school. July the 24th. 25th and 20th. Can anybody remember our last youth meeting? Did we start it on Wednesday night or Thursday? Did we go Thursday night, Friday, Friday night, and Saturday? Is that how we did it? Okay, that's how it'll be. I've got it the 24th, Thursday night, 25th, Friday, and 26th, Saturday. It'll be over. And then I also announced a Dominican meeting, March the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th in the Dominican Republic of 2014. So I'll get the new list to you, Brother Painter, so we can get our... there was other meetings turned in, and so that we can get them our website up. there's more and more people getting on our website. I was just amazed. I asked Brother Painter not too long ago about how many, not hits we were getting, but actual people going in to our website was something like almost 2,000, 1,800 to 2,000 visits. Not hits, but visits a month. They have to have a password to listen to our services. They can get on our website and listen to music or, you know, look at pictures or look at our calendar and events, but they can't listen to our services without a password. Well, it includes them. I mean, the only reason they would be on there to visit, it's not just a hit. There was a lot more hits than that. Sister Durham. That's good. She's saying the girls, some of the girls she works with listens to the music on our website. Brother Painter's working on a, what are we calling it, Brother Painter? A website. Here, I'll tell it. No. I'll go ahead now.
To basically give an online church directory with an extension of that, each church in the body have a place to actually post perhaps pictures, maybe audio, if you go that far, as well as contact information and so forth. Our website, it's unbelievable to me the amount of traffic that we get. It really does reach out. You know, just think about every time you pick up your phone, your computer, laptop, whatever, you know, you're looking for something. Hopefully, that you consider our church website, our audio, music, any other information. And by the way, I'm taking applications. So, it gets a little complicated, but it's a lot of fun.
There's a lady that came to our church several years ago in Republic that she never did see this, but she became our friend, and she came quite a bit. She got involved with a lot of different groups that she was looking around, and she came to our church some. Well, the other day I got a email from her and said, is this Pastor Mickey and Sister Ann Smith that used to be in Republic, Missouri? You people from Republic will remember Brenda Garner from, what was the name of that Methodist manor in Billings? No, not Marionville. And she's now visiting the Republic Church. She's been listening to our website. She's been, getting on there. She found us on the internet. And so you never know what the Lord will do. And so Sister Smith and Brother Randy were there Wednesday night, and she was there with a friend. And he had told me she'd like to see us. I said, well, Sister Smith will be in church there Wednesday night. So she went and was able to see her and visit and all. So. All right, what else? Anything else we need to announce here before we go home? Sister McGowan? Is it still in the VA complex right there? North Little Rock. What's the name of it?
Fort Root.
Fort Root? Okay. And moving in tomorrow? Okay. Yeah. We have to find out his therapy times.
He will be there 3 hours at a time.
Okay. Let's remember him. Keep remembering him. Drained the... All right. Let's all stand. Give God a praise for this day. Precious Lord, oh God, we love you, Jesus. Oh God, we're rejoicing tonight for your goodness. Oh God, your many blessings, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. God, go with your people. Direct us this week. Use us, God, for your glory. Help us, oh God, to be vessels of honor. And oh God, we would be used of you, Lord, your workmanship. Amen. All right, shake hands and be friendly.